Blog Talk Radio.
Goat's got a little bump. Goat can use a little Listerine. Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Radio. Just Eerie House Radio. That's right. Pay that ransom. Pay that ransom. He said to a captive audience of none. Well, no, Fogsbane's here. Fogsbane popped in. Welcome, welcome. No.
Welcome.
We got folks listening that just don't log in. A lot of them from England of late, or at least the UK. At least the UK. So thank you, listeners from over the pond there.
Hello.
I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show. I am accompanied by...
Dave Binkley from Witness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And we're here with the amazing, brilliant, and fabulous.
And the mind, the mystery, it's me, CW, with the ransom letter, pay up, chocolate, nobody gets hurt.
That's right. Hand over the chocolate,
that's
and
right.
Everybody walks out of here alive. But you better not give it to me. It might not work out so well. Or maybe it will, depending on what you're planning there. But we've got two more kidnap tales.
Yeah, another and a Richard Diamond private detective. And I don't know, it seems about anything I've seen that Dick Powell and I've liked. And this show is no exception, coming off of his two-year run from the Rogues Gallery, where he played Richard Rogue, a very similar character, a very smart-alecky, smart detective-type guy, who was, in this case, he's a retired, oh, not retired, he left the police force for his own detective agency. And I think part of it is, not only do I love his acting, I love the writing for this, and this was written and produced by none other than a very young Blake Edwards.
Oh, no kidding.
Ooh, wow, the Pink Panther's father.
Yes.
Yep. Most famously known for being married to Julie Adams. Or Andrews,
oh,
I mean. Not Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Andrews,
yes.
Great minds think alike. Yeah, and besides Richard Diamond, we got suspense for you tonight too.
Yeah, nearly 1,000 shows of suspense. I think like one or two episodes off from a full 1,000. I don't know why CBS didn't carry it 2 more weeks to get the full 1,000 in, but yeah, they didn't. So just the same, wonderful series, and it kind of transformed. It had 3 stages of suspense. They came out at first and they just had these amazing stories and well written, and then they turned into a showcase for Hollywood and radio stars, especially radio comedians that never got a chance to do drama. And then they turned into, when they lost most of their sponsorship, still had some individual sponsors, but when they lost the big single sponsorship and a lot of money, they continued on with really good stories and some really good radio actors with a good guest from time to time.
Yeah, and also suspense is one of the shows that there's a lot, if not all of them, that are available.
Yes, yes. And not quite all of the, I mean, Agnes Moorehead did close to 9 times, sorry, wrong number.
Yes.
And most of those are available, not quite all of them, but most of those are available. Whenever they redid it, she always came back for that, as well as some others. Even in the late 50s and early 60s, she came back to do some more suspenses. One I'm thinking of, Don't Call Me Mother, was one of the ones that she did later in that also.
Is that the full title?
No, that was the full title.
If they remake it now, I can imagine them adding just a little bit more, but I digress.
Oh.
We got I'm so sorry, Jean. My mind just wanders.
Yes, we all know what you're thinking. Don't call me Mother Hubbard. There.
There you go. Wow. And good old Bob joins us in the chat as well, doing some advanced math because he's hoping that one of our shows is well calculated.
Yes, it is. It is indeed well calculated.
They generally are. A great series, really. It's a good mix of drama, crime, mystery, horror, and even
and towards the end, towards some sci-fi as well. You're right.
Yeah.
Very much like CBS Radio Mystery Theater did. You know, it touched every type of.
Indeed, very well calculated with an abacus to keep you in.
Just considering those two shows alone, CBS Radio Mystery Theater and Suspense, God willing, we're going to be doing this for a long time without repeating shows. Unless you ask us. If you ask us, we will definitely repeat certain programs, but we haven't had to yet other than the annual War of the Worlds.
War
even
the world.
Then, we try to do different versions. Yep.
And so we're all you have to do is go back in the archive to hear them. But if you'd like to hear some of them pulled together, like if Fogs were to request three and we put together a Fogs night or something, or good old Bob picks out some three of his favorites, we could have a good old Bob night, that kind of a thing.
GGSI paper night, or you can even
paper.
Reach out to us on our Facebook page.
Right.
We'll name a show after you.
For
you don't have to be
all right. Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
We are here for you.
That's right.
Most
not the other way around.
And perhaps if you have your favorite actor, I'm sure actors, even Mark Hamill did radio, and that's very modern.
We had one not long ago, did we not?
Yeah, we did.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we did.
Yes, we did.
And what I'm looking for, I'd love to find it. William Shatner started off as a young actor in Canada on radio. I'd love to find some of his. Now, I have some things that he did later upon occasion on radio, but I don't have any of his early Canadian stuff. That would be really cool to get.
That would be cool to throw
that
together with Nimoy doing the what was he on Sears, I think? Nimoy?
Yeah, he was host. He was co-host towards the end of it on the Adventure Night on the Friday nights with Adventure. Yeah.
See, there you go.
I wonder if any of the universities. He did go to university somewhere in Canada. I don't know if he went to what was that called, McGill or something. They might have something in their archives, perchance.
Have to check that out. So much of that stuff just was not saved. You would think if you did it at university, university would have archived it,
McGill, Gorilla, sorry. You said McGill and I went crazy. Hanna-Barbera flashback.
I thought we did that yesterday. When we went to Kings Island,
I know. I was being redundant.
A new condition, a Hanna-Barbera flashback. Yes, the American... Okay, the Surgeon General warns that Hanna-Barbera can cause flashbacks.
As they should. There's some liminal messages.
Good old Bob, tell good old Bob, so we need to tell you, don't worry, it is Saturday. We don't do math on Saturday. So we're okay.
Well, he wants to do some before requesting his weekend, so there you go.
Please step away from the slide rule. Step away from the slide rule.
I prefer an abacus myself.
Yeah.
To play with the beads.
I tried a slide rule once, but I got hurt sliding down it, so I don't go back here.
Ooh, those splinters. Ouch.
Ooh. I was going ow. Anywho... Let's get started with Richard Diamond. Let's start out with Richard Diamond. I like
to do that. That's always a great, a lot of humor in there and there's drama in there. And most times there's a song at the end of the show by Dick Powell as well.
Excellent. And this one's entitled Lieutenant Levinson Kidnapped.
Yes.
Originally broadcast way back. A long time
ago. Episode number 69 from October 18th of 1950.
Listen, while the makers of Rexall drug products and 10,000 independent Rexall family druggists bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, private detective.
And his pet goat, Richard.
Good evening. This is your Rexall family druggist with a message that will save you money. Tomorrow morning at Rexall drugstores everywhere, Rexall's world-famous one-cent sale begins. From then on through Monday, October 23rd, you can buy two regular guaranteed Rexall products for the price of one plus 1 cent. For example, the regular price for the 100-tablet bottle of Rexall aspirin is 54 cents. During Rexall's 1 cent sale, you get two bottles for 55 cents. That's right. Just a penny more buys twice as much. What's more, this offer of two for the price of one plus a penny applies to literally hundreds of items. From vitamins to mineral oil, from cold cream to iodine, from shaving needs to Christmas cards. And what's more important, these are Rexall products, and you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
Good health to all from Rexall. Now your Rexall family druggist brings you another half hour with Richard Diamond, private detective, starring Dick Powell. Diamond Detective Agency, we can solve any crime but television.
Diamond, stop clowning and get right down here.
Well, Sergeant Loveland, what's the matter, Otis? Didn't the zoo pick up your option?
Oh, now quit that. You gotta get right down here. Something terrible's happened.
They haven't made you commissioner.
Worse than that, Lieutenant Levinson's been kidnapped.
Diamond to see you, Captain.
Hello, Collins.
Sure. All right, Diamond.
Otis just called me about Walt.
Now, look, Rick. I know Walt's a personal friend of yours. He's a good friend of mine, too. But this is police business. A cop's been kidnapped.
Diamond was a cop for 6 years.
I don't need a case history, Sergeant.
Oh, get off it, Charlie. I'm down here to help.
Of course you are. But there's one thing I won't stand for, Rick. The way you operate.
Well, what's the matter with the way I operate?
I know how you feel about Walt, and when a guy feels that strongly about someone, he's liable to do a lot of things to get a few answers.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Charlie. What are you going to do, hold a tea party and hope someone will spread some gossip?
That's not fair, Rick.
Well, if you think I'm going to sit back knowing that Bert Fisher's got...
Who said anything about Bert Fisher?
Well, nobody had to say anything. Pretty obvious, isn't it? Walt sent Bert's brother Art to the electric chair. Bert swore he'd get Walt for it. Fisher dies tonight, doesn't he?
Yeah. Sure, I think it's Bert Fisher, too. And we're going to do everything about it we can.
Bert's been in Detroit, hasn't he?
Yeah. I've got a call into Detroit. Should be hearing any time.
This phone call you got saying they had Walt.
I didn't have time to trace it. The guy said Walt was being held, and when Art Fisher dies tonight in the chair, so does Walt.
Charlie, I'm going to work on this thing whether you like it or not.
Yeah, that figures. But I promise you, Rick, I won't save your skin if you get out of line.
Mm. Any leads yet?
No. You're rounding up the usual stoolies.
Well, I know a couple of boys who might have a few angles.
Who?
Nobody who would give you any information. These guys aren't stoolies. They might tell me because I think they like me. You see, Charlie, sometimes it pays not to be a cop.
I'll expect any information you get, Rick.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll see you later.
Rick?
Yeah?
Be a good boy, will you?
Collins, if we don't find Walt by 11 o'clock, can you hold up Fisher's execution?
No.
Oh, that's swell. I'll keep in touch.
Hey, Diamond, you think you can do anything?
And I can try. Do me a favor, Otis.
Okay.
Get me a complete background on Bert Fisher. Everything. All his friends, his record, as far back as you can go.
Gee, Diamond, I'm scared for the lieutenant.
You're not alone with that one, Otis. In the Bowery, living in a broken-down rooming house, was a man. 20 years ago, he'd come to the big city with his trumpet tucked under his arm. He'd started playing with little combinations along 52nd Street, and pretty soon the word got around. Everyone came to listen to him. They called him the Dean of Jazz, and the title stuck. Then one night he had an argument with one of the Fusari mob, and the next morning they found him in an alley, half dead, his face beaten to a pulp. It was a long time before the Dean could get around again, and it was a lot longer before he could play his trumpet. And by then, no one would have him. He couldn't make enough with the horn, so he tried crime. And that's where I met him. I did him a favor, and a short time later, he went straight. He'd still kept his underworld connections, but he wasn't a stoolie. I'd just done him a favor once. Richard Diamond.
Wow. Hello, Diamond.
How are you, Dean? Like to see you.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of figured you would.
Dean, you ever run into a guy named Fisher? Bert Fisher?
How about a drink?
No, thanks.
Scone. Oh, man, it's going to be hot today.
This Bert Fisher grabbed Lieutenant Levinson. Says he's going to kill him.
Well, I can't help you.
Oh, Dean, I just need one little lead to get started.
Yeah, sure. Whew, wish I had a fan in here.
How's business?
It isn't. I make enough to pay the rent.
How about a few bucks to keep you going?
Well, I ain't proud, but it won't buy you anything.
The lieutenant's a good friend.
Yeah, yeah. Word got around this morning.
Yeah. Here's 10. Buy yourself some groceries.
Well, thanks. You did me a favor once.
Forget it.
Bert Fisher's got a lot of rough hoods working for him. They're most all from Detroit. But they kill the same as anyone from here.
Mm-hmm. Dean, do you know anything at all?
I might. Who wants to die?
Blow pretty good.
Oh. Sure, me and Bix.
Well, I'll see you around.
Yeah, thanks for the 10.
Oh, Dean, about 11 o'clock tonight, play a few bars of the funeral march.
Oh, Diamond.
Yeah?
You remember this tune, don't you?
As any name can be.
You got it, pal. See you around.
Fifth Precinct, Sergeant Loveloom.
Oh, this is Diamond, Otis. What'd you find out?
Oh, I got reports on everybody we know is connected with Bert Fisher. You want me to read them off?
Anybody on that list named Mary?
Mary? No. These guys are all named Hallelujah or something.
Look, check all of those names and see if Fisher or any one of his boys ever knew a girl named Mary. Then after you do that, I'll...
You'll what?
Holy smoke. I'll talk to you later. Dean! Dean! The Dean had blown his last note. He was sprawled face down on the dirty carpet, clutching the shiny trumpet. A thin line of red was spreading out from a bullet hole in his chest, and the open window sent me across the room in a hurry. I looked out on the fire escape to see a man drop to the alley below. We both fired a split second apart. He staggered as my slug knocked him against the building. And then before I could try again, he disappeared around the corner. I turned, looked down at the dean, and wondered if Gabriel was getting a lesson in jazz.
Diamond, I warned you before you left here that
Okay, Charlie. A nice guy's been killed, but all the crying in the world isn't going to help.
Hey, I got something, Diamond.
Let's see.
Good grief. He's got the whole department working for him.
Come on, Otis. What have you got?
Is it all right, Captain?
Yeah. Go ahead. I should be in the second-hand business.
Report I want to Fisher's old mob, Lou Baxter. Only one of the whole bunch who had a girl named Mary.
Mary? Who's Mary?
Charlie, look at this picture.
Lou Baxter. I've been looking at it all morning.
Well, take another look. This is the guy I shot climbing down off the fire escape after he killed the dean.
What?
Holy smoke.
You know where you can pick him up?
Oh, he's a local boy, all right. Didn't go back to Detroit with Fisher. I've had a call on him since 10:20 this morning. Hey, what about that girl, Otis?
Name's Mary Sinclair.
Used to go with Lou Baxter, Captain. No address on her.
Mary Sinclair and Lou Baxter, huh? Well, it's the first lead we've had. I'll get the boys on it.
Charlie had his methods and I had mine. Otis got in touch with the musicians local, and in half an hour, I had a list of all the places the dean had worked since the union had a record on him. I started checking. Dives, restaurants, jam joints. Questioning owners, bartenders, waiters. No one knew a girl named Mary Sinclair. Around 3 o'clock, I wandered into a place on 52nd Street known as the Red Parrot.
Hey.
I'm looking for information.
You a cop?
Private cop.
Mm-hmm.
You remember a guy who played here last year? Trumpet man, the dean?
Sure. Everybody knows the dean. Something wrong?
The dean got himself killed.
Oh, no. See, that's too bad. Real nice guy.
You ever know a girl named Sinclair? Mary Sinclair?
No. No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Hey, mister.
Yeah?
Why don't you ask Ed? He's the boy with the fingers playing the piano. He knew the dean pretty well.
Thanks. You, Ed?
Yeah. What can I do for you, Pops?
I understand you're a good friend of the dean's.
Sure, we're compatible. But I ain't seen him in a while. You looking for him?
No, for a friend of his. A Mary Sinclair.
Cute chick.
Where can I find her?
Why do you want to find her, Pops?
The dean was murdered a few hours ago.
She used to live over on 47th Street, 69 West. That was a year ago.
You sure about the address?
Couldn't forget it. We had a few balls up there. She was kind of a flip. We had a little combo in here, pretty crazy, too. She used to come in and listen. Real hep on jazz. Knew all the old-timers by name, like the dean. I remembered when he was Tops, before he got hurt. You ever hear him in those days?
Yeah.
I played with him a lot. Used to watch him real close sometimes, after hours. The boys would just sit around and blow because it felt like it. The dean used to lean back and close his eyes and blow things like he was getting the word from the other side. It was great. Might have been the greatest. Well, you all got to go on ahead sometime. I guess it ain't so bad, though. The harp's a real wild instrument.
I left the piano player and headed to the address he'd given me. There was a good chance Mary Sinclair wasn't living there anymore. But it was the closest I'd come to any kind of a lead. When I got there, I held my breath and looked at the mailbox. Score for Diamond. Miss Mary Sinclair still lived in the building.
Before we continue with the adventures of Richard Diamond, here's your Rexall Family Druggist.
And tonight I have money-saving news. For tomorrow morning at every Rexall drugstore in the country, Rexall's famous one-cent sale begins. The sale where you get two fine-quality, guaranteed Rexall products for the price of one, plus 1 cent.
Exactly how does that work?
Well, for example, the regular price for a pint bottle of Rexall's Milk of Magnesia is 39 cents.
It's
but
milk.
During the 1 cent sale, you can buy two bottles for 40 cents.
Why, that means a penny more buys twice as much.
Exactly, ma'am. What's more, you'll find some 347 of these twin bargains in our stores.
Everything
from Rexall rubbing alcohol to stationery, from Rexall foot remedies to Rexall dental products. Plus, 85 other sales specials you can't afford to miss.
Well, I'm putting my pennies to work tomorrow.
Then use a lot of them, ma'am, for every one of them doubles your buying power. Best of all, you'll be getting Rexall products, and you can depend on any drug product that bears the name Rexall.
We apologize for the mathematics. We said there would be none, and there should not have been.
Yeah, well, you know,
math,
I like
help.
Buying drugs
math.
For a penny. That's better than I get on the corner, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
Is Dave peddling cough syrup?
Oh, my goodness. There he is. Okay. Hey, you want to buy some NyQuil? Hey.
This is the nighttime stuff, the good stuff, yeah.
Hey. And if it's me, hey, I got the geritol, man.
Okay, here's my penny. Give me my bottle.
What the hell was that?
I have no idea. That happened once before. That jazzy tune coming in here.
We're being infiltrated.
Okay.
Over.
David, that's you, isn't it?
No, I'm not touching it. It's you.
Not me.
Oh, really? It's got to be you.
No, it's not. It's not. It's you.
What? Are you sure you don't have some, maybe some pet hair in the keyboard or something? You know, the dog kind of, you know, just wag their tail up there.
Damn you, blog talk.
Maybe that's their way of censoring, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I was about to say flippity flappity barbly.
Yeah, something.
Okay, Dave.
Just for edification. Yeah, just for edification.
We're hearing Bill Johnstone, who was the second shadow and your second favorite shadow. Here is the guy that's taken over the investigation into the kidnapping of the Walt Levinson.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this story, and Dick Powell shines in this one.
Yeah.
Good character.
Yeah.
Great character.
It is a great character. Yep.
Well, let's wrap up. Lieutenant Levinson kidnapped. Let's see if they can rescue him.
And now back to tonight's adventure with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell.
Yeah? Ooh, hello.
Mary Sinclair?
Yeah. Whatever you're selling, I'll take a dozen.
I'd like to talk with you.
I'd like you to. Some other time. I'm busy right now.
I'm afraid this can't wait.
It'll have to, baby. Give me a call. Plaza 45466, Mr.
Diamond.
Okay, doll. Call me tomorrow, huh? You got your foot in the door, honey.
Old habit. Can't seem to break it.
Well, I'll break it for you, honey. Your whole leg.
You'll be sorry, doll.
Mm. All right, baby. Make it quick, huh? What do you want?
Let's talk inside.
I told you.
Yeah, I know. It's cooler in here.
The coolest. But it won't be for long.
Where's Lou Baxter?
Who?
You know, the boy you used to run around with.
I ran around with a lot of boys. Ever since I was in grammar school, I ran around with boys. It's a hobby.
Where's Lou Baxter?
Baby, I don't know. You want to twist my arm? Go ahead. It might be fun.
He just killed the dean.
You did? Shame on him.
Forget it, Mary.
Hey, Lou.
Get out of the way. That's the guy who put a slug in me.
Looked like you're in pretty bad shape, Baxter.
Doctor's coming. But he ain't gonna be able to help you.
See, honey, you should have come back tomorrow.
Shut up.
Well, wouldn't have been half so painful.
I want Bert Fisher.
Well, good for you. Get away from that door. Now, walk into that other room.
Drop it back there.
You didn't want to play.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that, Charlie. I needed him alive.
That's gratitude for you. I knew you'd get into trouble, Diamond. So I tailed you from that last bar on 52nd. Is this Mary Sinclair?
Charmed, I'm sure.
Ought to stay here. Call the wagon.
Right.
There's a doctor coming up. I doubt if he's legit.
Wait for him, then bring him down to the station, Otis.
Right.
Come on, Miss Sinclair.
Sure, honey. You know, Mr. Diamond, I think I'll have to break that date for tomorrow.
Here are Baxter's things, Captain. Watch, wallet, nothing much.
Yeah, let's check the wallet.
Book of matches. Danny's Diner, Route 51. Check on that, Otis.
Right.
Nothing much in the wallet. Social Security, driver's license, some money. Quite a lot of money. Want to take a look?
Yeah. No addresses, huh?
Here's a ticket to a shoe repair shop.
Nothing much here that would give us a lead.
Yeah?
Danny's Diner is about 160 miles out on Route 51. And guess who runs it?
Who?
Gino Amalo.
That does it. Call the authorities in that area.
Right.
Gino Amalo.
8 years for armed robbery. Used to work for Bert Fisher.
Yeah, maybe this is it. What time is it?
Going on 7. This better be it. We only have 4 hours, and you got to drive 160 miles. Captain Collins talked to the sheriff's office and set up a rendezvous with him near Danny's Diner. Then we piled into a squad car and roared across the 59th Street Bridge for Route 51.
Step on it, Otis.
We're doing 80 now.
Then do 90. It's getting late. Now, Rick, you think we should bust right in the diner and take Amalo?
No. Amalo doesn't know me. Never seen me. You stake out your men around the place and I'll go in. Give me a couple of minutes, then you come in, work on Amalo a little, and then leave. If he knows where Fisher is, he'll try to get in touch and I'll tag him.
Something for you?
Yeah, a cup of coffee and a piece of pie.
You got raspberry, chocolate, lemon, peach, custard?
Raspberry.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Here you are.
Where's the closest gas station?
About a mile down the road, but I think it's closed. It's after 10. Closes at 10.
Thanks.
Miss? A miss?
Yeah.
Where's Gino Amalo?
In the back. You want him?
Call him.
Sure. Hey, Mr. Amalo, someone wants to see you.
Okay, be right there. Yeah, something I can do. Oh, what are you doing way out here, Captain?
This your book of matches?
Yeah, that's the name of my place.
Found these matches on Lou Baxter. Baxter's dead.
Oh, that's too bad. You're not going to tie Baxter up with me, are you? Lots of people come in here and take my matches.
If Baxter came in here, you saw him. You're an old friend.
Well, sure, I know Lou, but I ain't seen him in years.
We got word your old boss is in town, Bert Fisher.
Oh, is that right?
Know where we might find him?
No, I haven't seen Bert in years either. Look, Captain, I've been going straight.
Sure.
You're a little out of your territory, ain't you?
This is unofficial. You're in my jurisdiction, I'd haul you in.
Look, I tell you, I'm going straight. I don't know nothing about Lou Baxter or Bert Fisher.
Okay, Amalo. You may hear from me again.
Well, nice seeing you again, Captain.
Now, miss.
More coffee?
Yeah. Where's the phone?
Right over there on the wall.
Is there another one?
In the kitchen, but you can't use that. Hey, you can't go back there.
Honey, it's the police. You stay where you are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is Tino. Let me talk to Fisher. Hey, what are you doing?
Don't move, Amalo.
What is this?
Cover up that mouthpiece. Cover it up.
Okay.
Now, when you get Fisher on the line, say what I tell you and hold that receiver out so I can listen.
Look, friend.
You look. Say one thing wrong and I'll use this gun.
You're a cop?
None of your business.
Well, look, I...
Yeah, what do you want, Amalo?
There he is. Tell him you just heard Baxter was killed.
Hello.
Tell him.
Hello. Look, I just got news that the Baxter was killed.
Yeah? Okay, anything else?
No, that's all.
No, that's all.
So what's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Okay. You got any more news? Keep in touch.
Hang up. Now, where's Fisher hiding out? Get up. Where's Fisher hiding out?
You dirty flat foot, you nearly bust my jaw.
Only nearly? Where is he, Amalo?
Well, you kill me if I tell you.
That's getting late. Are you going to tell me?
Okay. He's in a cabin about a mile up the road.
Come on. You're going to show us.
It's just around that bend.
Yeah, we better get out here and walk.
How many men has he got in there with him, Chino?
Two.
Now, whose cabin is it?
Mine.
Otis, get out and tell the rest of the men to douse their lights and come over here.
Right, Captain.
Here's a piece of paper. Draws the floor plan of that cabin. Here, I'll give you some light. Okay, go ahead, Amalo. How many rooms?
Three.
Uh-huh.
Hey, we're all set, Captain.
Okay.
One big room with a door here, a kitchen here, and a bedroom here.
Where's Lieutenant Levinson?
I only been up there once since they got in. He was in the bedroom.
How about closets, back door?
One closet in the main room here, one in the bedroom here. Let's see, a broom closet in the kitchen and the back door here.
Has it got an attic?
No.
Where's Fisher's car?
Parked around the back in the shed.
Okay, I'll have the men stake out the place. You're going to take me up there, Amalo.
Me?
He's going to take us up there.
You're a civilian, Rick. If there's any shooting to be done...
If there's going
to
be any shooting, I'm going to be in on it.
Wait a minute. Who said I was going to take you guys up there anyway?
I did.
I told you everything I know. I ain't going to get my head shot off.
You're going to walk us up there, Amalo, and you're going to knock on that door.
No.
And you're going to get them to open up.
Look, they're loaded with artillery, shotguns.
When the door opens, you duck.
Okay, suicide.
You heard what the captain said, Amalo. I'm a civilian. Without a badge, I'm allowed to get pretty nasty with you.
Look, you can't make me do something I don't want. I know my rights, Captain.
You know something, Rick? I think I'm catching a cold. I can't hear a thing.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
I'll go check the men. I trust you'll not take advantage of the prisoner, Rick. I couldn't hear if he yelled or something.
Wait. Okay. Fine cop.
All right, let's go. All right, men.
Yes, sir.
Listen now. I'm going up with Diamond. Three of you take that side of the house. Three take the other. You and you go around in the back to the shed where the car is.
Yeah.
Otis?
Yeah?
You and this man cover the front, but stay out of sight. If it comes, it'll come in a hurry, so close in fast.
And look, boys, the lieutenant's in the back room, so try and be as careful as you can.
All set?
Yeah.
Let's go, Amalo.
There it is. Light in the front window. Yes, 10 minutes of 11. I hope their watches aren't fast.
Keep going, Amalo.
Okay, Otis. You two drop here.
Right, Captain. Good luck.
What are you stopping for, Amalo?
I just remember they told me to yell if I came up.
If you try to pull anything...
No. Honest. They told me to yell.
Okay. You stay here. We're going up on that porch. Count 20, then yell.
And play it smart. I won't fool with you, Amalo.
Okay, Captain, but I'm scared stiff.
You're not alone. Come on, Charlie.
This guy's trying to get on the ledge.
You know
what he's running.
Get on that side of the
door. Bert! It's me, Chino! Hey, Bert, I gotta see you!
You alone?
Yeah. Can I come up?
Throw a light on him, Ed. Okay, come on up.
Get him, right.
Why are you kidding? Stop it!
One going in the room. Pick up!
Okay. Don't shoot anymore. I'm hurt.
See you, Walt, okay.
Walt?
Well, it's about time. Get these ropes off me.
You okay, Walt?
Yeah. Thanks, Charlie. What time is it?
11 o'clock. Happy birthday.
Hey,
Again, here's your Rexall family druggist.
Once more, let me remind you that tomorrow, Rexall's mighty one-cent sale begins. The sale where you get two guaranteed Rexall products for the price of one plus a penny. For example, the pint bottle of MI-31, Rexall's famous mouthwash, regularly costs 69 cents. Tomorrow, you can get two bottles for just 70 cents. And remember, there are some 347 of these twin bargains, plus 85 other super specials. Make your pennies by dollars during Rexall's one-cent sale. Tomorrow through Monday at Rexall drugstores everywhere.
Good health to all from Rexall. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, stars Dick Powell in the title role and was written by Blake Edwards, with music composed and conducted by Frank Worth. Dick Powell can soon be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer production, Right Cross, in which he co-stars with June Allison and Ricardo Montalban. Featured in tonight's cast were Wilms Herbert, Bill Johnstone, Sidney Miller, John Stevenson, Arthur Q. Bryan, Virginia Gregg, and Jay Novello. Richard Diamond, Private Detective, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Jaime Del Valle. This is Bill Foreman inviting you to join us next week at this same time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Remember, tomorrow starts the four biggest bargain days in the year. Rexall's nationwide one-cent sale. The sale where you get two top-quality guaranteed Rexall products for the price of one plus 1 cent. Remember, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and the following Monday, just step inside a Rexall store where you buy twice as much for a penny more.
Yeah, yeah.
Rexall!
Your Chime Master, Robert Young, is expecting you tomorrow on NBC.
I hope not.
Mr. Rexall, Rexall, your internal organs.
It's all over. That's a good one. Lieutenant,
it's all over but the moral. Yeah.
All over but the moral.
Yeah. No, no.
Erie House Radio proudly presents A Garrulous Moral of the Story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. If you ever kidnap someone, always ask for money. It's a little more tangible than a reprieve. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just thinking of a line from one of Steve Martin's early comedy albums. He says, whenever you rob a bank, you always leave in, or whenever you kidnap, you always leave in a crazy demand so that they can think that you're crazy if they catch you, and you get off for being crazy. And he said, $1 million, a getaway car, and strike the letter, the number 9 or the letter E from the alphabet, something like that. And he said, and he laughs at a getaway car. Right. Yeah.
And we strike the sweatshirt.
A getaway car. Yeah. Right.
There you go.
And it has to be a Herkimer Jitney.
A Herkimer Jitney, huh?
A Herkimer Jitney.
Deluxe edition.
Yes. CW knows what a Herkimer Jitney is from, don't you?
A Herkimer Jitney. Who's it? What's it?
A Herkimer Jitney.
Well, I know I've heard of Herkimer diamonds, but I've never heard of a Herkimer
jitney.
Jitney.
It was the vehicle that Tom Waite made for the guys in Mystery Men. It was a military type thing.
Okay.
That was the Herkimer jitney.
Okay.
I need to get. Yeah, that's
I need
it.
To
if
watch
I,
that
if
movie
I were
again.
To get the Mega Millions. This is what I would do. Now I know what I would do. Let's go back to the Wish Show real quick. I now have my wish. I now have my wish to hit the Mega
there'll
Millions.
There'll be more Wish shows in the future. Matter of fact, I came up with a whole weekend of genie shows. So,
ooh.
Yeah.
But here's my wish, and they would all be vehicles. I would want. You ready for this? This is my fantasy list of vehicles. I want to see if I could get my hands on the Chariot from Lost in Space. That thing that guy made.
Yep.
If, make me another one. I'll pay. Let's see what else. I gotta have a Herkimer jitney. Yep. Don't know if I'd want the Ghostbuster
the Black
mobile
Beauty from Greenhawk. The Black Beauty from Green Hornet, the original.
Yes, Black Beauty from Green Hornet would be good. Thank you.
Well, you know what? There was a guy in Indiana that does recreations of the Batmobile.
Possibly the Batmobile. It wouldn't be on the top of my list. I'd actually rather have the Green Hornet before the Batmobile. Let's see. What other fantasy vehicle could I want?
you want your classic hearse, right?
Oh yeah.
I think I want the hearse from what was that 80s movie, CW, that was a real sweet salute to the Universal Monsters. Oh, what was it? It was a 80s
was it?
Monster Squad. Such a cute movie. There was a great hearse in that one that Dracula drove.
The
Game
Monsters. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
What else? The DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't mind one of those. Well, there's got to be some more epic. Oh, the truck from Duel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, got to have that. Oh, and the car from the car. Why not? The car from the car.
Car. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Stephen King? Christine. The Christine car?
Oh, yeah. Christine, I would want.
Christine.
I have a nice picture of myself. I went to one of the horror hounds, and Mrs. K was with me. There's a good picture of us floating around with Christine. And she was so thrilled she got to sit in Christine.
Wow. I wouldn't mind the Knight Rider car. Kit from the Knight Rider.
Ooh.
Only if I get William Daniels' voice with it.
There you go.
Oh, yes. I can't remember, because there was the evil Kit. It was called Kit Carr, K-A-R-R.
James Bond, Wet Nelly. Fogsbane likes that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what about the car that Patrick McGoohan drove in the opening credits of The Prisoner?
Or the car Mr. Magoo drove in the beginning of Mr. Magoo.
Yeah. I like that three-wheel car that's in the Mr. Bean has.
Oh, that would be fun.
And you got the padlock on the outside. When you put the little boat padlock on the outside.
Yes. You must put the boat padlock on the little... Yep.
Oh,
anywho, that's enough car fantasies for now, I think, because we're running out of time. Let's move on to suspense with a story called Bank Holiday.
Yes. Elliot Lewis, who's actor, producer, and spent several years producing that. He was also Frankie Remley, my favorite character, Frankie Remley on the Phil Harris Alex Faye radio show. And he produced the Zero Hour with Rod Serling for radio, and I think it was at 71, I think. And then he turned around and he was a producer of an occasional actor in the Sears/Mutual Radio Theater. So,
uh-huh.
Who we got in for this one tonight?
And it was originally broadcast.
Episode number, I think, 150 comes to us from July 19th of 1940 and 5.
Now, the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California presents
Goat Juice.
Suspense.
It happens when you try to milk a goat.
Tonight, Roma Wines bring you from Hollywood Miss Bonita Granville as star in Thank Holiday, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed by William Spear. Suspense is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness and entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant as Roma Wines bring you a remarkable tale of suspense. And with Bank Holiday and with the performance of Bonita Granville, Roma Wines hope indeed to keep you in suspense.
It happened the morning after I became engaged to Harold. I got to the bank a little early that morning, hoping I'd be able to see him for a minute before we opened for business. And sure enough, Harold was just hanging up his hat and coat when I came in the door. You see, I'm one of the junior tellers at the main branch here in town, or rather I was, and Harold is assistant manager. That's how we met. So this morning I didn't stop at my own cage, but went on through the gate and walked up quietly behind Harold. Hello, darling.
What?
Why, Mr. Osborne, don't you remember me? I'm the girl that
you're... Jane, please.
Good morning, Mr. Osborne.
Oh, good morning, Johnson. Miss Evans, would you step into my office for a moment?
Why, certainly.
Jane, really, you mustn't...
Mustn't I mean, what? You... I didn't do anything. I just said...
But suppose someone had overheard. Don't you see how...
Well, what if they had? They'll all know about it in a day or two anyway.
But that's just the point, my dear. They mustn't.
They mustn't? But we're going to tell our friends, aren't we?
Jane, I thought you understood all that. You know how the bank frowns on office romances. After we're married, it'll be different.
But Harold, this is different. We're engaged.
Nevertheless, my dear, the policy of the bank distinctly is...
Oh, phooey on the policy of the bank. This is our business.
But, Jane, the bank is my career, and I'm only thinking
of the bank. And I'm thinking of our life together.
Now, Jane, please be practical. In my position here, I simply must live up to the standards that the bank...
The bank. Sometimes I wish I could meet somebody, just somebody, who hated banks. Wasn't a very good way to start off an engagement, or even to start off a day's work, for that matter. Back to my cage feeling miserable. I got out my cash for the day, including the little package of 25 $1,000 bills that a client of ours always called for on Friday. We never asked why. That isn't a bank's business. And I unlocked my cash drawer and put the money away. Then it was 10 o'clock. I opened my window for business. There weren't many people in the bank yet, but at my window, there were two men. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can I help you?
Yeah. This is a stick-up.
What?
Just take it easy and do what we tell you and you won't get hurt. But my friend here's got a gun under that newspaper he's carrying.
I'd love to use it, sister.
What? Well, what do you want me to do?
Here's a paper bag. Fill it up.
All right.
And don't forget those 25 G notes that George Oliver calls for every Friday.
The what?
Don't stall.
We know all about them. That's one reason we're here.
And don't make any funny moves, sister. Because if you do, it's curtains.
I'd often wondered what I'd do if this ever happened, but now I couldn't even think. As I fumbled with the money, I looked at the two men. One of them was about 35, with dark hair and a square jaw and hard blue eyes. The other, the one with the gun, was a nervous, evil-looking boy about 21. I knew they meant everything they said. I glanced sideways for a moment toward Harold's office. As luck would have it, he was just coming out the door. He must have seen that something was wrong because he started over to my window.
Come on, sister, snap into it.
I'm trying to hurry.
Who's that coming over here?
It's Mr. Osborne, the manager.
All right. Just don't try to make any bright conversation. I'll do the talking.
All right.
Is there anything I can do here, Miss Evans?
Yes. Just stand right where you are and keep quiet.
What?
Harold.
Don't look so hurt. You've heard of banks being held up before, haven't you?
Oh.
Come on, miss. Hand it over. We haven't got all day.
Here you are.
Thanks.
We ought to take her along.
Don't be crazy. Come on.
We ought to take her.
Why, no, you can't. You can't do that. Miss Evans is one of my most trusted employees.
And I'm his fiancée.
Oh, you were, are you?
Jane.
Now, I know we're going to take her along.
You're a fool, Sonny.
Oh, yeah? Well, Harold here don't think I'm so dumb, do you, Harold? Because you know what happens to your girlfriend if you set the cops on us.
No.
Yeah. Curtains.
Don't do anything, Harold. I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
For Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you a star, Bonita Granville, whom you have heard in the first act of Bank Holiday by Robert Richards, which is Roma Wines' presentation tonight of Suspense. Between the acts of Suspense, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines. Elsa Maxwell is an acknowledged expert on the niceties of dining and entertaining. Recently, she said, "Gracious little touches can do so much to make meals more enjoyable. Dine by subdued light. If possible, adjust radio or phonograph for soft, mellow music. And as the crowning touch, serve well-chilled Roma California Sauterne." A most excellent idea from Miss Maxwell. Good Roma Sauterne is pale gold, delightful in bouquet, and even more important, exquisite in taste. Created in the Roma tradition, Roma Sauterne is always unvaryingly good. The goodness of luscious grapes, selected at peak of flavor richness in sunny California's choicest vineyards, carefully pressed, then, unhurriedly, guided to perfection by the ancient wine skill of Roma's famed wineries. Good Roma wines are always delicious, yet cost only pennies a glass. Remember, because of uniformly fine quality at reasonable cost, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine. R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. And now Roma Wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Bonita Granville, who as Jane Evans in Bank Holiday continues a narrative well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Why would I tell a couple of bandits who came in to hold up the bank that I was engaged to Harold, particularly when Harold was the manager of the bank? It was crazy, but there were a lot of crazy things I did that day that I didn't understand myself until later. Naturally, when I told them that, they took me along as a hostage. And the next thing I knew, I was sitting in the front seat of a big blue car beside the one called Frank, and the other one called Sonny had tied a blindfold over my eyes. And we were driving. Once we drove in somewhere, and for 15 or 20 minutes, there was a lot of banging and clattering around the car. Then we drove on. At first, I was too frightened to even breathe. Then I began to get angry. Just what do you think you're going to do with me?
To tell you the truth, I haven't quite made up my mind.
Yeah? Well, I have.
Shut up, Sonny.
I demand that at least you take this silly blindfold off.
No, we couldn't do that, darling. Then you might see how we'd strip this car down just now. Change the hood and the fenders and the
Shut plate. Up, Sonny. You talk too much.
What's the difference? She ain't going to be around to tell you.
I said shut up.
What's the matter? You getting soft?
No, but a bank rap is enough without having some trigger-happy punk of a kid.
You better not talk to me that way.
I'll talk to you any way I want to. Watch out the back for cops.
Cops? You don't think the little lady's boyfriend is
going to... I wouldn't want to bet too much on it. Would you, Miss Evans?
I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is that at least Harold isn't a cowardly, bullying...
Oh, I'm sure Harold is the perfect gentleman. But I got a hunch he's also the perfect banker.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You just don't want to admit what I'm talking about. Which is that in spite of anything that might happen to you, Harold will turn us in.
He wouldn't.
No. Maybe we can check on that. I'll turn on the radio.
What's that going to prove?
Short wave.
All the latest equipment for bank robbers, sweetheart. That's us.
LAPD. Car 17. Disturbance at 8th and Pico. A disturbance at 8th and Pico. That's all. LAPD.
Car 17. Roger. That's all. Car 17.
Well?
LAPD. General alarm. A general alarm.
Uh-huh.
Two unidentified men are wanted for a holdup. Main branch of the 42nd Bank and Trust Company.
You see?
And for kidnapping a woman employee answering to the name of Jane Evans.
Oh.
When last seen was wearing a light blue dress, black shoes, has blonde hair, blue eyes.
He done it.
See what I mean, Miss Evans?
Well, it was his duty. Why shouldn't he?
Nothing, no reason at all. It's just a question of who rates the most of the guy, I guess, his boss or his woman.
All right, he asked for it. I told him what I'd do.
What are you going to do?
Well, Miss Evans, I think we'll drive up this little side road here and let you out.
Oh?
You shouldn't have any trouble hitching a ride back. If you do, just try what Claudette Colbert did in that picture. Remember?
Hey, are you kidding?
You heard what they said. She was nothing but excess baggage anyway. Now she's just another way they can identify
her. All right, so that don't mean we let the guy get away with it. I told him what I'd do to her if he's crooked, and I'm
going
to
do what I tell you.
Oh, yeah? Well, if I'd known you were so yellow, I...
Now, what was that you said, Sonny?
All right, Frank, but... Cops.
They're turning in here. Give me a gun, Sonny, and get down on the floor under that blanket.
I'll plug him, Frank.
Give me
I'll
that gun
him.
And get down on the floor.
You're nuts. They'll get us, Frank.
I know what I'm doing. You do what I tell you. That's right. Keep covered up and keep quiet.
All right.
Take off that blindfold, Miss Evans.
Well, look here. If you
now
think
you're going
that...
to kiss me, and you better make
what?
It good. Because this gun's going to be right in your ribs. All right,
oh,
now.
No.
Hey. Where?
Oh. You kind of startled me, officer.
What are you doing here?
Well, if you must know, I'm getting engaged. Is there anything wrong with that?
Let me see your license.
We haven't got the license yet,
your
but we're...
driver's license.
Oh, sure. What's the matter?
Just let me see your license.
Here you are. You looking for somebody?
Just a couple of guys who held up a bank and kidnapped a girl.
Is that right?
The young lady got any identification?
Well, I...
Go on, tell him, honey. You see, we left town in sort of a hurry. You might call it a sort of elopement.
Oh. Sort of elopement, huh?
Yes.
Well, I guess you're all right. But you know, you shouldn't be parking in here in the broad daylight like this.
Yeah, but you know how it is.
Sure. I know how it is.
You can come up for air now, Sonny. They're leaving.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, Miss Evans, I'm afraid that under the circumstances, you'll have to put up with our company a little longer. It wasn't as bad as all that, was it? Well, was it?
She slapped him right in the voice.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I guess it does.
That was crazy, too. Here I was, my life completely in this... big ape's hand, and I had to slap his face. I knew I'd made him angry, and what was even more dangerous, I'd hurt his pride. But there was nothing to do about it now. For a long time, we just drove along, and nobody said anything. We were crossing a stretch of desert, heading toward a mountain range, and had just passed through a little town. I saw the car pull out of a side road as we flashed by, but neither of the two men did. And all of a sudden, my mind began to race, thinking that maybe now was coming my chance to escape, wondering what I could do, and then my blood ran cold again, the way they were talking.
Still heading to the same place, Frank?
Yeah.
Mom place?
That's right.
What about Miss Spitfire here?
I'll take care of that when the time comes.
She knows too much.
That's right.
Hey, if I thought you was getting soft, Frank...
What would you do?
Well, you know what we gotta do, don't you?
Yeah.
Where?
Not right out here in the open desert. That's a cinch.
The mountains?
Yeah, maybe the mountains.
Maybe? There better not be no maybe. The cops again. Look right behind us.
Yeah. Those others must have got to thinking things over.
Cops in the middle of the desert. No one in sight for miles.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this. Sonny, I've been wanting to do this all day.
You crazy fool.
Who's crazy? We get them before they get us, that's all. They're shooting back. They know they got a fight in their hands now.
So have we. Shoot at their tires, you hear?
Okay. Oh, they hit us.
And that's not supposed to happen the way you saw it in the movies, huh? You.
Me?
Yes, you. Get down. Down on the floor.
Well, what are you going
to
do?
There's only one thing to do now. Drive light.
First, I wasn't afraid at all. It was even a little exciting. I kept thinking that maybe in just a few minutes I was going to be rescued and wondering what Harold would say and at the same time feeling the exhilaration of being in a race and wanting my side to win. And of course, that was crazy, too. And then suddenly the car took a sickening lurch. I scrambled up onto the seat again. We were out of the desert now, climbing a long, winding hill that twisted up toward the mountain. The police car was falling behind, but it was still following us. We hit another curve.
Hold on.
I looked down, and for a moment there seemed to be no road under my side of the car at all. Only a sheer drop down to a canyon filled with huge boulders and 100 feet below.
Come on, take it easy.
I hit the other side of the curve and straightened out. Oh, I was frightened now, all right. I was weak and sick from fear.
I told you to stay down on the floor.
Oh, I can't, Frank. Look out.
Get your hands away from that wheel.
You're going to kill us.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, stop. Please, stop.
Stop? That might be all right for you, lady, but it wouldn't be so good for me.
I'm afraid.
Take it easy, kid. Take it easy. Close your eyes. Like you do on the roller coaster, you'll be all right.
I'll be killed.
What do you think I'm running for instead of fighting? Just so nobody will be killed, not even cops.
Fred.
Frank, look out. Keep away from that wheel, I told you.
Look out.
Keep away. I hate to do this, but...
Oh, no, he hated to do it. He hated to do it, my eye.
I think he was going to get me before he slapped him, you know?
That's right. Punk.
Yeah. Slap why you oughta, I oughta, why you oughta.
Don't let me turn CW loose on you, buddy.
Yeah, hold me back. Hold me back. Why I oughta. Why you good? I've got a finger sandwich right here for you, pal.
That's right. Finger sandwich. Lady fingers.
Yes, lady fingers.
Yeah.
Yes, all five of them.
Total.
One, two, three, four. Oh, math. There's that math again.
Math. No math. It's Saturday. No math.
That's funny.
Ooh, but I'm liking this. I mean, first of all, she's very laissez-faire with her attitude. Oh, so you're going to kidnap me. Well, so what? Big deal.
She's going to end up a mob mall. Oh, it's exhilarating, and I know I shouldn't be thinking like this.
Yeah, look out, Bonnie and Clyde. Look out, Bonnie and Clyde.
No kidding. Hello, mob marker.
I always said that there's this thing. It's called a gangster complex thing, where some ladies it appears are attracted to guys who are nothing but trouble and just can't resist them.
And it's Harley Quinn and the Joker all over again.
Yeah. But he is a snazzy dresser, so you know that could be part of it.
You know, what woman couldn't resist a purple tuxedo and purple and more purple?
That's what I'm saying.
Sure. Very debonair.
Just like your high school prom. Oh, wow. Look, purple tuxedo with an orange bow tie. Ooh.
pretty much right for us in the 70s, huh, Dave?
Yeah.
They had some pretty funky tuxedos.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
but at least
did.
it's still beating what those leisure suits look like today. Holy cow!
Oh heavens!
Even Johnny Carson couldn't make a leisure suit look good.
No, those were bad. They were bad. Bad news. Bad news.
Night at the Roxbury with Will Ferrell. Oh my gosh, it looks like a polyester factory exploded.
Yes, it's not good. It's just not good. And I know nothing of fashion, but this I know.
So to everyone out there who wants to avoid a fashion faux pas, leisure suits are no-no. Just a clean pair of jeans, a nice clean T-shirt, and a nice jacket and sneakers, and you're acceptable pretty much anywhere.
Take notes, guys. Take notes.
Take notes. Right. Take notes.
Well, let's wrap up Suspense. A bank holiday doesn't seem like much of a holiday. Seems more like a thrill ride.
Well, she's not at work, is she? Come on.
True. Got to get out of work some kind of way, and this will be a thriller from Suspense.
I saw his fist rush toward the point of my jaw, and that was all. When
I'm
I woke
sorry,
up,
Mr. Goat.
It was mid-afternoon, and I was lying on a bed in a bare little room of obviously a mountain cabin. Through the one window, all I could see was the jumble of rocks and boulders piled up against the mountainside. I felt my chin. It was sore, and there was a little bruise on it. But aside from that, I seemed to be all in one piece. Then suddenly I heard voices. They were coming from the next room through the crack of the door,
them.
Left an inch or two
I hear them all the time.
I crept over and listened.
Don't worry, I'll handle it. Okay. Hey? Yeah, sure. Now go on down in the tower, get some grub like I told you. Okay, Frank. Are you sure you don't want me
no.
to?
No.
Get going. Okay, Frank.
I stood there by the door, frozen with fear. I didn't need to hear any more to know what they'd been talking about. For a second, I thought of escape. I looked wildly over toward the window. Oh!
Been listening, huh?
Yes.
How do you feel?
All right.
Oh, I'm glad to see you're up and around.
Why? Because it's against your principles to kill women who are unconscious?
There's a path down the backside of the mountain that leads into the main highway. It's 4 or 5 miles long and pretty rugged, but you ought to be able to make it before
what?
Dark if you hurry.
Oh.
Does that answer your question?
Yes. I guess it does.
Better get going.
How do you know I won't...
Because you're going to promise me not to. Aren't you?
Yes.
All you have to say is that I slugged you, and that's all you remember until you woke up by the side of the road. We'll be out of here and over the border by morning anyway.
What about Sonny?
I can handle Sonny.
Well, I guess I do owe you something after all.
Me? What?
My life.
Uh-uh. That plays strictly for me. I just don't want that punk kid with his movie idea, cops and robbers, to be hanging a murder rap on us. That's all.
You're a strange man to be
a crook? Listen. There are just two kinds of guys in the world, right guys and wrong guys. And the wrong kind can be the usual bum with a gun in his hand, or he can be a pillar of society that sits all day behind a big shiny desk. He can be kind to his mother and nice to little kids and have a lot of fancy excuses and reasons he gives himself. Or just no reasons at all, like me. But a wrong guy is still a wrong guy. He's no good.
Well, thanks anyway.
You better get going now. By the way, I'm sorry I hit you.
That's all right. I guess I had it coming.
I'm sorry I let you get into this mess in the first place, but I...
But what?
That kiss. I meant that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Frank. Frank, so did I.
Jane.
They must have trailed us here after all.
Frank, take the car.
Yeah.
What? I saw him down ahead of me on the turn of the road. I just had time to turn around and get back. You still got the dame, huh?
Yeah.
I was hoping you hadn't done nothing yet. She's about the only ace we've got left.
Take the south window. I'll take the west.
Yeah.
Don't try to go knocking them off. It'll only make it worse. Just keep them covered so they can't rush us.
Oh, yeah? But if I get a clean shot at one of them...
You do what I tell you. Can you see them?
Sure. They're down behind the big rocks.
Where?
As far as they can get. That's as far as they could get, even if they had an army, until it gets dark.
All right, we can turn the car headlights on them.
Then they only shoot them out.
If we can hold them, Frank. We got enough ammunition to
but
hold
you can't
them.
Eat ammunition. Oh. Maybe they can't get up, but we can't get down either. We can't stay here forever.
Well, you're going to take me alive. They'll never take me alive as
stop
long
it,
as I
will
can.
Stop it, will Try using your head for a change.
What?
The phone. Yeah.
Frank, what could that be?
I don't know. The boys seem to have stopped the artillery barrage, too.
Oh. Don't answer it.
What's the difference? You don't think we're going to kid anybody we're not home, do you? Yeah? Oh, yeah. Huh? Yeah, she's here.
Hmm?
Sure, she's all right.
Frank, who is it?
It's your boyfriend, Harold.
Harold?
He came with the cops. He's on the Forest Ranger's emergency call box just down the road.
Let me talk to him.
You worried about him?
No, no, it isn't that. But let me talk to him.
Sure, go ahead.
Harold? Oh, yes. Yes, so am I. Oh, no, no, nothing like that. They've been quite all right. Yes, of course they are. No, there's nothing to prevent them from killing me any time they want to. Listen, Harold, all you care about is getting the money back. And me, isn't it? Yes, I know. All right, wait a minute. Frank, you said you were near the border. How long would it take you to get there?
A couple of hours. One would put us in the clear.
Would you give them back the money and... and me?
Will the cops go for a deal like that?
They got to. Harold, what's getting dark got to do with it? Well, of course you can't storm the place and expect to find me alive. Now listen, they'll give back the money. Yes, I'll bring it down myself. But you've got to give them an hour's start. Oh, well, you can just say that they rescued me and the money, but the men got away. Oh, no, Harold, nothing like that. No. You've got to promise me, Harold, on your word of honor, your solemn word of honor. All right? They'll do it.
Okay.
Are you nuts?
It's our only chance.
Harold? All right? Yes. I'm coming down now.
Yeah, but if she goes
She's
back...
going. The dough is still in the paper bag. It's on the table.
Frank.
Get going.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Harold, just so you don't have an idea you're getting away with anything, I think you're a dirty liar.
I hardly heard and didn't even think about it. I was so relieved and still so bewildered by everything, running down the hill with a paper bag of money clutched in my hand. And then I saw Harold crouching behind a rock, and then some policemen, and then I was around the bend, and they were all running up to me, and I threw myself into Harold's arms.
Jane, dearest, you are all right.
I'm all right, Harold. Here's the money.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's all here. All right, officer.
Okay, Chuck. Let him go.
Come, my dear.
Harold. Harold, what is that?
Tear gas.
Tear gas?
Oh, it's quite harmless, really. And...
well, Harold, tell them... tell them what we promised.
Oh, I'm afraid of it. It's out of our hands now, my dear.
Harold, you promised. You gave me your word of honor.
Well, of course I did, but
oh,
you didn't think
you
that
knew.
I...
oh, you knew all the time. Well, you planned to... stop it! Stop it!
Please, my dear, you're over.
Oh, let go of me. Let go of me. Stop it. Stop it! Stop it! I tried to run back, but they held me. And I had to watch. I couldn't help it. It seemed like hours... it was only minutes, I suppose, with the tear gas bombs exploding around the cabin and crashing through the windows as they got the range. And then something white fluttered from the door and they came out. The boy first with his hands in the air and then Frank, stumbling toward us like blind men and coughing. Oh, those terrible rocking coughs. They just seemed to be tearing them to pieces. Oh, Frank!
All right, come on.
Hello.
Oh, Frank, I didn't know. I swear I didn't know.
I know, I did know. I knew before you left.
Oh, why did you let me go? I wouldn't have gone if...
because
I...
he's just the kind who would have stormed the place. Maybe I couldn't have handled Sonny then.
I'll help you. I'll do anything, everything I can, anything.
Yep. Just take some advice, will you? Next time, be sure it's the right guy.
Yes, it's funny. It's like he said, people can be honest and dishonest in so many different ways. I got to the bank early the next morning, too. Harold was already there waiting for me.
Hello, darling.
Hello.
I'm so glad you're here early. There are some things I wanted to talk over with you. You know, you're quite the heroine now.
Am I?
Oh, yes. And, you know, I've been thinking, perhaps I was a little too conscientious yesterday, about our marriage, I mean. I think perhaps you were right after all. We ought to tell...
Harold, about our marriage.
Yes?
There isn't going to be any marriage.
Isn't going to be any?
I found out something about a girl getting married, Harold. Marriage is something you do second.
Do second?
Yes. First, you find the right guy.
And so closes Bank Holiday, in which Roma Wines have brought you Bonita Granville as star of tonight's study in Suspense.
This is Truman Bradley with a word for Roma Wines, the sponsor of Suspense. During the warm weather, nothing tastes quite so good as a tall, frosty Roma wine and soda. And as Elsa Maxwell recently remarked, serving Roma wine and soda is smart 1945-style hospitality. You'll find this delightful iced drink as refreshing as it is delicious. Yes, and Roma wine and soda is so easy to prepare. Half-fill tall glasses with Roma California Burgundy or Sauterne. Add iced cubes and a bit of sugar. And for a decorative touch, garnish with cherries or fruit. Here's another suggestion. For a delightful aperitif, sip delicious Roma sweet vermouth, well chilled. Zestful, full-flavored Roma vermouth, both sweet and dry, is blended and developed with all the traditional winemaking skill of Roma wineries, is made and bottled in the heart of California's famous vineyards, yet surprisingly low-priced. Try Roma vermouth soon, won't you?
Next Thursday, you will hear Norman Lloyd and Mark Humboldt as stars of Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
Sounded like Schwarzenegger, California.
There's a headache waiting to happen.
Yeah, Suspense always had the better music of yeah. Most radio shows. They had some
especially
great
this
stuff.
This theme here came from you-know-who, Bernard Herrmann.
That's my boy, Bernard.
There you go.
Yeah, that was good.
Good stuff. But that wraps up our kidnap weekend of radio programming.
Yep.
Well, we got a little time left.
A little bit.
Don't forget, a repeat of Gar the Ghoul, a first run repeat, tonight on the Twitches.
Yes, yes.
Yep, check that out.
That's on there. And as we have time for a quick something, we do.
Quick, let's run down the street and get a shot of beer. No. Let's see. Oh, yeah.
No, Roma wine, thank you. Roma wine, please.
Oh, Roma wine, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just ready
to glass. Around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Back
then. I still appreciate you. Let's find love.
love while we may. Because I know I'll hate you when you are old and gray. So say you love me here and now. I'll make the most of that. Say you love and trust me, for I know you'll disgust me when you're old and getting fat. An awful disability, a lessened utility, a loss of mobility is a strong possibility. In all probability, I'll lose my virility, and you your fertility and desirability. And this liability of total sterility will lead to hostility and a sense of futility. So let's act with agility while we still have facility, for we'll soon reach senility and lose the ability. Your teeth will start to go, dear. Your waist will start to spread. In 20 years or so, dear, I'll wish that you were dead. I'll never love you then at all the way I do today. So please remember, when I leave in December, I told you so in May.
Two nights in a row.
Okay.
Tom Lehrer.
Yeah. All right. Tell me how you really feel. Don't hold back.
That's right.
Hey, before we, for two things here, for time, shameless plug, Monday on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, weirdest, really bad movie on the Vortex, our Dead Men Walk with Holly and I and our evil twins hosting.
Ooh.
And speaking of what's going on next week, so what's happening next Friday on Erie House Radio, Dale?
I don't know. I might be sleeping it off.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, that's what it's about, sleeping it off. We got Suspense, Inner Sanctum, and Crises on Friday. Saturday, return of CBS Radio Mystery Theater. It's all about sleeping and napping.
Yep, it is.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes. My favorite activities in school.
Shemp Howard had the best snore of all time.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
Yes.
Oh, outstanding.
Boy. Some more good shows
Now that they paid the ransom, we get to go home now, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
You paid the price of hanging out with us for the entire show. Thank you, good old Bob and Fuzzbane, for joining us in the chat, plus a host of others who we can't even see.
Thank you, netizens everywhere in cyberspace.
Yeah, recently hit 65,000 listeners in total on the channel, and Dave says we're about to hit aren't we about to hit 1,000 radio programs, or have we done that already?
No, we just surpassed the 1,310 mark. With actually, we have 1,315 after tonight. So,
that's about how many CBS Radio Mystery Theaters there were, and we've only scratched the surface. There's tons, and tons of goodies out there.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But wait, there's more. Yes.
Yeah. Try and get old with us. We got a lot to go.
Yep.
Older, I should say. I've already hit old.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And it's hitting back. It's hitting back. See you next week, Friday, 7:30. No, I'm sorry, 6:30 Eastern.
The castle lights are growing dim.
You said
there's
no matter.
No one left. But me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone, don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Oh, I forgot my shovel. Darn it.
Oh,
forgot my shovel.
Oh.
Oh, let me turn on the bulldozer because I can dig it.
Ended before the door slam. Oh, well.
It'll
happen.
Unless you're listening to the archive, then it ended perfectly.
Yes, it went smooth transition till I interrupted.
Excellent. Oh, dear.
Oh, the fun we get to have here.
Oh, marvelous show. I really enjoyed that one, especially the last one. She tells the fiance, I don't know, she, you know, but she's going for the bad guy, the bad boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
It's good to have some of those once in a while. I mean, sure, it's good to see the bad guy get theirs and people try to do right, but, you know. Sometimes a bad guy perspective story is pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. True.
An anti-hero, mm-hmm. or in her case, an anti-hero.
Oh, an anti-hero.
An anti-hero.
Like, not to be confused with Adamant. Not to be confused with Adamant.
Like Clint Eastwood's Man with No Name character is actually an anti-hero.
Right.
He's really not really a good guy. Per se, as one would perceive a traditional good guy, but he has some good qualities and he's an interesting character, at least to me.
Yeah. In the sort of, yeah. The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yep.
Love that soundtrack.
Ennio Morricone is one of my other favorites. He did that. And the other two Eastwood spaghetti westerns. Did a soundtrack
Pale
for
Rider.
Did he?
Hang 'em High.
Fistful of Dollars.
No. Yeah, Fistful of Dollars, and for a few dollars more, Ennio Morricone too. Yeah. Yeah, I would not call Pale Rider a spaghetti western. That was very American.
American.
Yeah.
Mm,
no. But,
definitely. But, yeah, still, I still think the very best of the lot still for me is the good, the bad, the ugly. Clint Eastwood, Eli Wallach, Lee Vang.
Yep. It was good photography. Have you ever seen the extended version where they've added all three were still alive, Lee Van Cleef, Eli Wallach, and Clint Eastwood, and they found some footage that had been lost for years. It was found in Italy, I believe. And so they, Pluto has been running it a lot lately, by the way, on their Western channel.
Oh, wow.
Get the Pluto app. Get the Pluto app. And
I think you'd watch that. I think you'd watch Pluto right on your computer, Dale.
Mm-hmm. You can.
Yes, you can.
Yep. Anyway, it's got that lost footage because it actually ties a few loose ends up from the original classic version of it. It explains a few things.
Yeah, the three free P's, Pluto, Peacock, and what's the other one? Plexi?
I'm not familiar with Plexi.
Peacock seems to have gone almost completely subscription type thing.
I know.
They had a free version.
It was great for a while.
Now they want you to, and they had things that you could watch for free and things that you had to subscribe to.
And that's fine.
But now I think everything is subscription. You can't. So well, no. Stink on that. That's all I got.
TV, and this is kind of why we do, if you're listening in the archives, I'm hoping my partners here, Will and Gartu, in his absence, would agree that part of the reason we do what we do is, you know, we grew up with TV being free. The advertisers paid for it. Let them pay for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let them pay for it so the masses can get the TV for free.
Yeah, either that or, yeah, I mean, YouTube has commercials on it, unless you happen to have some of the software that can block it.
Which costs money anyway.
You hanging around that dark web again, CW?
Oh, not dark, just a slight shade of grayish, so to speak.
One of the 50 shades or so.
Yeah, the 57, Heinz 57 shades of gray. There you are.
There you go. Oh, my goodness.
But it's true.
Well, you always insisted even when you were doing your Erie House television, Dale, that you always insisted that it would be free to the people watching.
Yes. Yes. And if when I bring it back, I would love to do Erie House TV again. Yeah, I want it to be free for folks, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind. You can get a sponsor. For example, Misty Brew had Pabst Blue Ribbon as a sponsor for her show for a bit.
Well, that was when she back in her TV days, I think. Well, I don't know if they were sponsoring her when she came back, like recently, but
I don't think they are, but yeah.
No, but yeah, I've seen, you know, episodes of her show where she did have that sponsorship at one time.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of cool, you know, if you get a local company, you know, your favorite pizzeria, haunt your favorite pizzeria pizza shop. And now back to Night of the Living Dead. This will really whet your appetite for a pepperoni pizza.
I actually had a sponsor for a very short time for my cable show, Hot Dog Heaven.
Hot Dog Heaven.
In Amherst.
Hot dog. I'm in heaven.
They gave me some coupons for free hot dogs to give out.
There you go.
There you are. All right.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, wow.
I think you need another cigarette, Dale.
Yep. Got a hairball there?
Light it up. It'll help you.
Actually, it was water went down the wrong pipe.
Sure it was.
Sure.
Water.
Of course.
I'm not kidding.
We believe
you. I am not kidding.
Yeah.
We spring water.
We believe you, Dale. We believe you.
Spring water.
Of course.
Spraying down my throat.
With that being said, since Dale is on the verge of having to call 911, gentlemen, I have to...
Must have been hard water. Must have been hard water.
Fine.
Okay.
Anyways, you were saying CW.
Oh, yes, what was I saying? Oh, yes. Jose was drinking his water.
Water, yeah.
Quotation marks.
It's spring water.
Quotation marks. Spring water, quotation marks, yes. Yes, I must be away. Fabulous show, as always. And I will, if I may, call to the stage for the finale of the evening, Mr. Jimmy Durante.
Good night. Good night.
Hey, there he is.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night.
Hey.
What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we the same, and
Inca-tinka-too.
Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Where Evan? Over there. Bye-bye.